One who is born without a material source.
One who is born without material source.
Srijati. Creates.
Bhutani.
All those materially born.
All those materially born.
Bhutatma. Having a body of matter. Yat. Whose?
Anugrahat.
By the mercy of.
Dadrishe.
Could see. Yena.
By whom?
Tatrupam.
His form of body.
Nabi.
Navel.
Padma.
Lotus flower.
Samudvavaha. Being born of. It's a translation. Ramath, who is not born of a material source, but of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord, is the creator of all those who are materially born. Of course, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The first living creature, Brahma, is called a Jaha because he did not take his birth from the womb of a mother materially born. He was directly born from the bodily expansion of the lotus flower of the Lord. Thus, it is not readily understandable whether the body of the Lord and that of Brahma are of the same quality or different. This must also be clearly understood. One thing is, however, certain. Brahma was completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord because after his birth, he could create living beings by the Lord's grace only. And he could see the form of the Lord. Whether the form seen by Brahma is of the same quality as that of Brahma is a bewildering question. And Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get clear answers from Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So, Ajasrajati Bhutani Bhutatma Yadanugrahat Dadrasheyena Tathrupam Nabi Padma Samud Bhavaha. Omagana Timadandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, in each and every universe, there is a Lord Brahma. In each and every universe, there's the expansion of Krishna known as the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and Garbhadaksha Vishnu is lying on the Garbhadak Ocean, and the Garbhadak Ocean is made from his perspiration. Pretty good. And so there's also the Shirodaksha Vishnu, who is situated in the ocean of milk and the Svetadvip. That means the white dvipa, the white island or something like that. So anyway, so these different incarnations of the Lord are known as what type of avatars? Anyone know? There's different types of avatars. Starts with a P. Any of the adults know? Purusha avatars. There's different types of avatars. And as we mentioned before, avatar means what?
Incarnation.
Now, what does it literally mean? I've said this many, many times. What? Coming down. A down crosser. Avatara. Tara means what? Crossing. Like bridge. Same word, same thing as bridge in English. And ava means down. And what does tirtha mean? I've spoken about this before. Yeah, well, it basically, it's a portal. For those of you who've seen science fiction movies, it's a portal by which you can enter into and then transport yourself to the spiritual world. That's it. What's the direct meaning of tirtha? Okay. So there's different types of avatars who descend. There's the Leela avatars. What's a Leela avatar?
They come down to, like,
have fun. Have fun.
For example, Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna's a Leela avatar. There's Shakyavesh avatars. Yeah. Children, what are they?
Shiva.
You're just telling them.
Prabhupada?
No, what does it mean?
Can I?
Yeah, you can.
They're empowered.
They're empowered jiva souls.
Yeah.
Who are empowered to do different things. And so, and then there's guna avatars. What are they?
Mm-hmm.
There's three good avatars. What are their names? Any of the adults know?
All three, just like Lord Shiva.
Yeah, exactly. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu. That's very good. There's yuga avatars.
They come every yuga. Like one avatar for every yuga.
Yeah, and then they teach the yuga dharma. So you can have an avatar, a particular individual, like Krishna or whatever, who is two or three of the different qualities. Like Krishna's the Leela avatar is also yuga avatar. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay. So, so you have Lord Vishnu in this form, which is the Garbha Dakshai Vishnu. Garbha means what?
Womb.
Garbha Dakshai Vishnu. And out of the womb, or out of the navel of Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, comes the stem. And what's in the stem?
Blood.
Not the stem. No. What's in the stem? No, the lotus flower is on the top of the stem, but what's in the stem? Anyone know? We're testing everything. All the planetary systems.
Oh.
All the planetary systems, and Lord Brahma is on the top of that in the lotus flower. And each and every universe, this unlimited universe, is described like the numbers. At least he's not in this room. Like the numbers of mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds. That's how many universes. And actually, even the scientists, when they're studying quantum mechanics, talk about multiverses, multi-universes. So we accept the same thing. And they describe the multiverses, multi-universes, like bubbles. It's very interesting. If you read quantum mechanics, it's very, very similar to what we're talking about. So in each and every universe, there's the Lord Brahma, and we are fortunate in our universe because Lord Brahma is a devotee. But in other universes, Lord Brahma is the greatest karmic. In some universes, Lord Brahma is the greatest jnani. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, have some devotion. It's not that they're just like rakshasas in charge of the universe. But, you know, jnana mishra bhakti or karma mishra bhakti. You understand what I mean? Mishra means mixed. Like karma mishra bhakti would mean you're mixed, you're worshiping Krishna with some desire. Like Dhruva Maharaj, right? It's karma mishra bhakti. Eventually he became a shuddha bhakta, which means a pure devotee. But in the beginning it was karma mishra. And then can anyone think of an example of a jnana mishra bhakta? In the beginning, yes, and also the four Kumaras. Four Kumaras. Those are Jnana Mishra. Jnana Mishra, you want liberation, you want to get out of the material world. So we are fortunate that we have a pure devotee, Lord Brahma. And the way Lord Brahma became a pure devotee is he followed the instructions of his spiritual master. Keshav, who was Lord Brahma's spiritual master? Shukadeva Goswami? Maharaj Pariksit? What?
Vishnu?
Yeah. Because there wasn't anyone else there in the creation at that time, right? It was just him and Vishnu, so he didn't have any choices. he couldn't have gone and looked for a guru. You know, it was an obvious choice. And actually, that's the most qualified person. So he was sitting on the lotus stem, and when he first, you know, opened his eyes, what did he see?
Nothing.
Just darkness.
Yes.
And that's described in the Bible, too.
Yes.
Isn't it?
When God created the light and the dark.
Yeah, light and the dark. So all he saw was darkness, and he was thinking, he was searching. He went down into the stem, you know, where all the planets were,
And he was searching, what the heck is going on? He was thinking, you know, just a new kid on the block or on the universe. So, so he was searching, and then he heard something. What did he hear, Keshav? He heard one word, two syllables. No. Tapa. Tapa. Tapa means you better perform austerities if you want to find things out. So that this is actually very important, this word tapa, austerities. Austerity means basically to give up something that you would like to do for a higher purpose. Sometimes people execute austerities in the mode of passion or ignorance. What's an austerity in the mode of passion?
You want to get money.
Yeah, like my father. He would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and come back at 11 o'clock at night.
Whoa.
And, you know, after about 10 years, my mother introduced me to him. I said, who's this man? You know, because I was going to sleep earlier than he got. Yeah, not really. I'm just exaggerating a little bit. He was a workaholic. Even when we went on vacation, he was working.
Wow.
He was working. You know, we went for boat trips and he was working the whole time. And, oh my God. When can you take me to a soccer game?
Oh.
Never took me to a soccer game. So anyway, because I didn't play soccer. Baseball. So that's in the mode of passion. And the mode of ignorance, austerity in the mode of ignorance means you torture the body for some political gain. Like fasting for some political gain. And I'm not going to mention the politician who did that in India because people would be offended if I mentioned. But that's, you know, Krishna says, I mean, Prabhupada specifically makes that point that one should not torture the body. Or even during certain years, you had people who burn themselves alive for political purposes. You ever hear about that? In the Vietnam War years, you had some people, even Buddhists, who actually burned themselves, you know, self-immolated themselves, poured gasoline on themselves.
God.
You heard about that?
Yeah.
Some of you may have heard about that. Just to oppose the war. And, of course, that's for political purposes. I mean, it's good to oppose a war that has no purpose. It's not a religious war. But you don't do it like that. Because anyone who commits suicide, they become a what? A ghost.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so, but austerities in the mode of goodness are without any expectation of the result or transcendentally to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what austerities do we perform?
Chanting.
But what do we give up?
We wake up early.
We wake up early? No. That's not appropriate. You don't wake up early. I wake up early.
Four regulated principles?
Yeah, four regulated principles, because in Kali Yuga, it's natural to do all those, you know, natural, to do all those things, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's just like you go to school and everybody's doing it.
Yes.
And there's social pressure. Oh, everybody's doing it, you gotta smoke this. I remember my friends took me to the races one time. I bet one time in my life and I lost. Had I won, it would have been dangerous. I would have gotten addicted to it. One time I lost. I bet on some horse in the fifth race anyway. And I tore up my ticket in anger afterwards. So, anyway, it's an austerity in Kali Yuga. Because everybody's being encouraged, social pressure, to do so many things. I mean, even if you go to the workplace, everybody's walking around with a cocktail. You know what a cocktail is?
Yes.
You know, martini. They have martinis here?
Yes.
And they're walking around, and they're taking the little, what's called hors d'oeuvres. You know what an hors d'oeuvre is?
Yeah.
That's like little frankfurters that they eat or something like that.
Yeah.
Canapés.
Yeah, canapés. Canapé is actually the French pronunciation. But you don't pronounce French. So anyway, there's so much pressure. So giving up these things, or giving up sangos chaga, sato vrite, giving up bad association. So, but in the case of Lord Brahma, he didn't have any bad associations. I mean, he doesn't give that up. And there's no question of illicit sex, because there wasn't a female Lord Brahma. There's no question of intoxication, because there's no drugs around. There's no question of gambling. So what he did is he sat in the same position and chanted, like Om, for many, many, it's like 100 or 1,000 celestial years. And guess what happened after that period of time?
He heard somebody talk.
Before that, the Lord came out and shook his hand as his scribe. He did a high five. You know, I don't know what type of handshake. You know, there's different types of handshake. You know, sometimes go like this, you know. But it says that the Lord shook his hand. How do you do? I'm God. I'm God. And then he had revealed to him the whole spiritual world, and he wrote a poem about it. What's that poem called?
Brahmasamhita.
That after he achieved his mature meditation and perfection, he was able to perceive the spiritual world. So the Brahmasamhita is actually, at least the, there's a lot more chapters of the Brahmasamhita. We're only studying which chapter?
The fifth chapter
of the Brahmasamhita. And that Brahmasamhita, the fifth chapter, was discovered by who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he was touring South India. And then he copied it, or had it copied. And then he said the essence of all the Vedic literature's understanding is contained within that Brahmasamhita. You know, it's like the pinnacle. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmasamhita, Bhagavad Gita, they all deal with different aspects of basically Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayojana Gyan. You know, the knowledge of the relationship, knowledge of different relationships between the Lord and the living entities, Lord of the material energy, Lord in time, Lord in the spiritual world and the living entity, and the spiritual world, and how to reenact or revive that relationship, or realize the relationship, and then ultimately, what is the perfection. So this is Lord Brahma, who wrote the Brahmasamhita. He's also our, the first member of our what, Keshav?
Sampradaya.
Sampradaya. And there's 4 Sampradayas. Lord Brahma, Sampradaya, what are the other ones, Keshav?
Gaudiya, Vaishnava,
no. We're a branch of the Brahma Sampradaya, which is called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Because you have Lord Brahma, then Madhva, Sripad Madhvacharya, who taught a dualism. You always see his picture like this. That doesn't mean victory. But he taught dualism. And then we have Gaudiya. Gaudiya means what? Well, basically, yes, but it means like the place of India, like Bengal. Gaudiya. Gaudadesh. There's Dravidadesh, which is where?
South
India. And the Acharyas generally would appear in the 5 provinces of Dravida in South India, which are called Pancha Dravida. It was in Pancha Dravida. So the Acharya, but Lord Chaitanya appeared in Gauda. And so, anyway, so that's our Sampradaya. What are the other ones? Keshav. Look at it. So I'm testing him.
Oh my God.
Trying to revive his Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Okay, another Sampradaya is based on someone who dances and destroys the universe. Another Sampradaya is based on 4 little kids. Yeah. Don't tell them. Another Sampradaya is based on someone who everyone worships for money.
Lakshmi.
That's called the Sri Sampradaya. So you got these 4 Sampradayas, and knowledge that's received outside of these 4 Sampradayas or mantras doesn't have any effect. Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha. So Lord Brahma is our original preceptor. After Lord Brahma came, who, Keshav?
Shiva.
No, in our sampradaya.
Oh, in our sampradaya.
Brahma.
Malva.
No.
No,
he's from way after Lord Brahma.
Narmani.
Do you go with him to school? Yeah, Narmani.
School is so
easier. You're following the Indian system. I saw one picture of kids taking tests and the parents were climbing the outside of it. You saw that picture?
Yeah.
Parents were actually, it was like a 3 or 4 story building and you had parents adhering to the walls of the building, passing the answers to their kids.
Oh, school is so much easier.
It was actually funny. So anyway, so no more cheating. So anyway, so the Brahma, Narada, who came after Narada? Narada. Vyas. Vyasadev. And Vyasadev was chastised. It's interesting because you have the gurus in our sampradaya giving very heavy instructions, like Lord Vishnu telling Lord Brahma what? Tapa. And then you have Narada telling Vyasa if he chastised him. He chastised him because he compiled the Mahabharata. Interesting story. It's there in the Bhagavatam. He compiled the Mahabharata, but in the Mahabharata, there's nothing wrong with the Mahabharata, of course, but it's hard to figure out who's God. It's hard to figure out who's the what the purpose of life is. If you read the Mahabharata, you think the purpose of life is to go to heaven, isn't it?
Yes.
You get to the end of the Mahabharata, then you got Yudhisthira and the 5 and the other 4 Pandavas. You know, of course, Yudhisthira is tested first. Yeah. He gets to see hell, and he's tested. He's tested with the dog, too. You know that story?
Yes.
And then they all end up in heaven, and Duryodhana is there, too. And they're all having a good time in heaven, and that's how the Mahabharata basically ends, of course. And that is very bewildering to people. So Vyasadeva was chastised by Narada Muni by encouraging people to engage in mundane things in the name of religiosity. He said, you have not directly pointed out the devotional service to the Lord. So you see that even someone like Vyasadeva was an incarnation of Krishna. Listen. Chastised. And then after that, he compiled a very important book. What book did Vyasadeva compile after that? That was easy. I could put you on that one. So anyway, so this is a disciplic succession. And so here we, in this particular verse in Purport, we hear about Lord Brahma, who is the beginning of our disciplic succession, and also the original, let us say, father of the universe. Of course, in one sense, you can say Lord Deva is the father of the whole universe, because the living entities became planted within the universe by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is actually Krishna, the original progenitor, Aham Bija Pradapita. And then Lord Shiva manifests from Krishna's glance, Saikshita. That's interesting, isn't it? The first manifestation of Lord Shiva in this world comes out of Krishna's eyes, Vishnu's eyes. Did you know that before? That's mentioned. That the Lord looks at the material creation. It's actually in the purports, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purports of the Brahma Samhita, that the Lord looks at the material creation, and because the Lord can do anything with what?
Any of his senses.
Any of his senses. What's that verse in the Brahma Samhita? Angani yasha sakalendriya driti manti. Anti kalyanti chiram jaganti. Nanda chinmaya sadhu ujwala vigrahasha govinda mali purusha tamahabhajon. Me. So because he can do anything with any one of his senses, he can eat with his eyes, he can see with his ears, he can smell with his hands. Pretty good. And so Krishna manifests, because all the living entities before the creation are in his body. We were in the body of the Mahavishnu. Pretty cool, isn't it? We were just floating in his body. I mean, his body is spiritual, so there's no intestines. You didn't have to worry about getting caught in the lower intestines of the Lord. His body has Ashnaviram, no veins. Just see, look at all the veins. When you get older, you can see all your veins. Your skin becomes transparent. So, not at your age. Now you have nice, soft skin.
No, I can actually see one of my veins.
So, Krishna has a spiritual body, you know, completely spiritual, such as Nandavigraha. So we're inside that body. And then, at time of the creation, Saikshita, Krishna, Vishnu looks out, and all the living entities, Shambhu it's called. That glance is called Shambhu, which is Lord Shiva. And living entities come within Maya. Maya is our mother. So he impregnates the material creation, and Lord Brahma gives them their bodies. So Brahma gives us the body, Shiva, you know, transports the soul, and Vishnu is the father. Right? And so then he figures out, Lord Brahma figures out what your karma was from your previous life. Because before you entered into the Mahavishnu, you were bad. Maybe good, but most likely bad. So then he had, anyway, Lord Brahma is informed by the Lord what Keshav's karma was from his previous life. And then, of course, you don't have karma, you're a devotee. But, and then Lord Brahma gets an appropriate type of body for you. He says, okay, you should be born in Australia. And you should have a certain mother and a certain father. And that's it. He determined, because there's no Yamaraj at that point. Yamaraj is a later creation, it's one of the demigods. So he determines what type of body, and you get your body. So Lord Brahma does a lot of work. And that's why he needs four heads. In some universes he has millions of heads. Don't ask me how he puts them all on his shoulders. It's quite bewildering. But there's different dimensions. You know, it's not like just like three dimensions like we know about, you know, up, down, back and forth, like that. But there's many different dimensions. So he has unlimited intelligence to figure out how to do everything within the universe. And the problem is, when he takes a nap during the day, what happens? The partial destruction. You know, he goes to sleep, but because he's in charge of the universe, then everything tends to fall apart. That's called entropy. And then he wakes up, oh, I've got to put it back together again. I shouldn't have taken it. And then when he goes to sleep at night, there's almost a complete devastation. You know, the living entities go to the higher planets to take shelter, because the lower planets, like Earth, is, you know, it's a mess. It's worse than global warming. It's global heating. And so anyway, and the sun and everything. Like, this is described in the Bhagavatam. So, anyway, so this is Lord Brahma's position. So any questions or comments about these points? Try to keep it simple for the children. Yes.
So, in the Mahabharata, we've seen that the Pandavas and Duryodhana,
yeah,
they had, like, they've seen as different karmic activities, and
yeah,
the Pandavas more as devotees, but they both ended up in the heavenly planet. So how do we understand that?
Well, because they have the injunction that a Kshatriya who dies on the battlefield goes to heaven. So, and actually Duryodhana died in the presence of who?
Krishna.
So that's pretty cool. If you got to be a demon, that's the way to go. You know, anybody who died, and of course, and also, there's an interesting thing about Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveda Yutsava. It's a pilgrimage place. So if you die in such a transcendental place, basically, I mean, there's many injunctions in the Gita Mahatmya. It talks about that, you know, people who die in Kurukshetra, you know, And describes the whole history of Kurukshetra, which I forget right now. There was a king, the Kuru king, etc., like that. And it was blessed that anyone who died there would go to heaven. So all those things are there. So obviously, when you go to heaven, it's not permanent. Shine punya marcha lokam vishanti. When your good karma runs out, you come back here. So it's not that we should think. Or just like if you go to a hotel, when your money runs out, they kick you out. They're so nice to you when you have money, isn't it? You ever go to a 5-star hotel?
Yes.
Where?
Fiji.
Fiji, which hotel?
Treasure Island.
Yes. So that's really... You got intoxicated there, too? Good drink a lot there.
Yeah, they do.
On the beach, they're drinking Treasure Island. Yeah. You saw that?
Yes.
So they treated you very nicely, isn't it?
Yes.
The porters, your bag came into your room?
Yes.
You thought, wow, I'm a king.
Yeah.
But what would happen if your father's money ran out?
Get out of the next boat. You're no longer welcome.
They throw you to the sharks.
No, they put you on a boat, send you back to Fiji.
Yeah.
Mainland.
I remember one time we went to one of those islands and they wouldn't let us land.
Which one?
Well, you know, the Treasure Island or...
Beachcomber.
Oh, yeah, Beachcomber. And they had to radio ahead. We had to go with a rich lady.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they wouldn't let an ordinary Hare Krishna devotee. This lady is Pachila. She has a trucking company. She's multi-millionaire, right? Mm-hmm. And she took her on a vote. She raided ahead. This is me, the rich person. Let me in. And they let us in. But ordinarily, I wouldn't have been let in because I didn't have good karma. So, in other words, when your money runs out, of the heavenly planets. The money means the good karma. Then you get kicked out and come back down to you. Then you gotta make more money. It's like, you know, vacation. Like your father has to work most of the time, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he gets like, how many weeks a year, you know?
4 weeks.
And then he gets to enjoy for the rest of the year working. So that's like... That's the karmic cycle of going to heaven. You understand? Most of the time you're working, and then you get to go to heaven for a little while, and then you pop down to the earth. So, the Mahabharata makes it seem like heaven is the goal. And, I mean, the nice thing about the Mahabharata is inside the Mahabharata there's a particular book. What's that book called?
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavad Gita. You know, so it's right in the middle of the Mahabharata. And so that's the nice thing. And the Mahabharata is a wonderful story. We all love that story. But people can get confused if they don't know the Siddhanta. So therefore, that's why Vyasadeva was chastised. Because he was encouraging people in sense gratification. Indirectly. Especially in Kali Yuga, people wouldn't understand the purpose of the Mahabharata. And Krishna the Gita in the 15th, chapter, text 15 says what? 15.
It talks about remembrance.
Vedais. Vedais cha saver. Aham eva vedyo. He says, by all the Vedas I'm to be known. So Krishna points that out. That the purpose of the Vedas is Krishna. Vedantavid, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm the knower of the Vedas.
Yeah.
Chaham. Sarvasya Chaham, Vidyasana Vishta, Matat Smriti, Yanamaponam Chaham. Vedyo. Vedavid, Eva Chaham. So that's a very important verse, 15:15 in the Gita. Okay, on that happy note, any other questions? Or?
Since Brahma was the first being, what is still a Jivatattva?
He's Jivatattva.
The spirit of the Paymarket
Lotus? Yeah, he's Jivatattva. Some of the Brahmas are Vishnutattva. Like if there's no one available to take the position, like if you have a boss and he's looking for a manager and nobody's there to manage, what does the boss do? He has to manage temporarily.
So sometimes the demigods are actually Vishnu Tattva when there's no one else to take that position. Sometimes it's mentioned sometimes the sun god is actually Vishnu Tattva when there's no one to take that position. Because, you know, there's not a lot of qualified individuals with enough education, you know, enough university degrees to become Lord Brahma. You really got to study to become Lord Brahma. Okay.
Is it also like what? According to prize, activity one is accumulated.
Yeah.
And because they stay in the body of we could be a first Brahma?
Pious activities.
Yeah.
Actually, sometimes it's mentioned when the living entity first comes down, he takes the birth of Lord Brahma. First comes down to the material world. And then he goes down from there. Because you can only go down from a higher, from the human human or demigod species. You can't go down from an animal. I mean, you can't get bad karma when you're an animal.
That's why it's jipta, right?
Yeah. So an animal can't accrue bad karma. Not that a dog bites you, that the dog is getting going to get a karmic reaction for that. That's just a dog.
What do you expect?
Yeah. And if a human being bites you, then he gets a karmic reaction. Unless he's under 5.
Was there a time when the jivas did not have any karma at all?
No. Anadi karma phale. There was never, I mean, this, it's like an endless cycle. There's always going to be like, and even if everyone's liberated in the material world, there's a bunch of jivas waiting in an inert state, waiting to take gross bodies. There's people lined up, you know, it's like an Apple computer store. when they're releasing the latest iPhone. There's people lined up just to take, you know, bodies, because there's so many jiva souls. In every atom, there's jiva souls. So, you know, so they're just waiting, you know. When can I have a better body than an atom? An atom body is not so nice. All you can do as an atom is just watch that thing spin around you all the time, you know, electrons. Can you imagine? Kind of boring life.
One more question.
Yeah.
Was Vyasadeva specifically chastised for writing the Mahabharata or the Vedas?
He was tasked to compile the Vedic literatures. In one sense, you know, people call him the author of the Vedic literatures, but he's actually the compiler. Because there's two words, there's Samas and Vyas. Samas means to put together. Vyas means to divide. So the knowledge was there. The Vedas are there. They're eternally there. And he manifests them and divided them. They're originally one Veda. And originally he divided the one Veda into the Samayara, Yajurveda, and the Atharva Veda. And then after that, the Upanishads. After that, the Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, Itihasas. Itihasa means history. And the Puranas. So all that knowledge is eternal, but it became manifest through his realization and compiled. And it was all oral tradition before. Okay, I think we have to get ready to hit the road today. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. And we want to thank all the children for not crying. We'll give them special sweets today because they didn't cry. Agari from Fiji is watching. Radharani is watching. Pretty good. You know, Radharani is a disciple in New Zealand. Sudharma, Vishalnan, Ramendra, Mangunath is watching. Sandeep. Devananda Pandit is watching. Jay Jana, Leela Shakti, Ratu Sarkar, Angelina, Jayabhadra, Navkishori, Leela Shakti, Dear Prashanta, Sumukha, Johnny Garrett, Sudharma, Navkishori, Krishna Kumari, Thank you very much.